This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard here on a Monday. Coming up in this hour, we'll talk more basketball on tonight's card. Some good games, although it's a short card, but some bettable games in our opinion, and also more on what took place yesterday over in Italy on the final day of the Winter Olympics with the gold medal match. So yesterday, that game gets over with, and then you're starting to either hear or see about some, well, let's just say all hell breaking loose in Mexico. And I saw some of the videos, and I'm like, oh boy, this does not look pretty. That's right now, if you're watching the show, that's Puerto Vallarta at 10 o'clock in the morning, I believe, Pacific time. Tons of smoke, tons of things set on fire. Okay, and look at that. I mean, it just keeps going longer and longer and longer.
All the videos I saw are the burned cars all over the place.
Okay. So this is absolutely nuts. So this is a sports betting story because friend of the show,
we love him.
Friend of the network, he's been referred to by others as a sharps sharp, Frank B. Dynamite guy as well. And some of his stories that he has shared on this show are absolutely A+. So then it's 5:11 Eastern time yesterday. I reached out to him and I'm like, everything okay? And I made notes of like most of the texts that we went back and forth, and I'll share the exact situation here. He can't leave his home. This is yesterday, like everybody else. Streets were empty except for burning cars. I asked if he's like how many people he's close to that would be considered, you know, neighbors in the area. He said plenty. Some neighbors he's close to went to church yesterday before all this started. They were stuck then because some health spa took them in nearby. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't get back to their homes. They were burning buses, burning streets, burning buildings in Puerto Vallarta. He updated it a little bit later on by saying 400 plus vehicles are burning, including a lot of buses. And he goes, that's how a lot of people get around here. So that's really like a low blow. Cannot go into the streets. Like I said, the airports at Puerto Vallarta and Guadalajara were closed. A plane got torched, he told me, at the Guadalajara airport. Flights from the U.S. had to turn around and go back. Imagine some of that you were seeing right there was around the airport, by the way. Imagine if you landed in Puerto Vallarta yesterday. Yeah, you're just, I don't even know what is going to happen with human beings at that point. He told me that some of this stuff is not getting reported on the news. The cartel compromised the nearby prison. Inmates then eventually killed some of the guards, took their weapons, and now they were running around on the streets. That's in addition to the cartel burning the city down. Pharmacies, gas station.
Can you allow? What do you mean compromised?
They took it over.
They took it over.
They pretty much took it over. Yeah, and this was before any resistance from the government or the military. This is all the cartel, and then eventually the military was fighting back.
It's like I love my Baxter. Guy was a prison guard. Yeah. If it's 200 against one, there's nothing you can do.
You have no chance.
They'll bum rush you. It's over.
We'll share some videos here of what it looked like today.
Oh, man.
He sent me one in the middle of the afternoon. I mean, it's just like that. It sounds like that going on. Cartel against the military. Costco, which really pissed him off. He told me it's pretty much the end of Puerto Vallarta as a vacation destination for quite a while. And he added on top of that earlier today, get ready for discounts with airlines, resorts, any of that stuff, because they're going to have to build this bad boy up big time over the next 5 years. You're going to be able to get it for, if you want to go there, like that's, you're going to see that, like you're going to get flooded with that eventually. I asked if he was stocked up on food. He said, yes, he was all good there. He sent me some more video at 8 o'clock Pacific time. And then he actually added, the looting has started. Look at this now. This is Frank's. This is his own video that he actually got out.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
This is the Costco parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Count the cars that have been set ablaze and then just they're done.
Over 20, 21.
They're just, 22. They're barbecue. I mean, look at that.
Oh.
the entire parking. That was pretty much the entire city from other videos that he was sending me. Look at that. Pure insanity going on.
But you, can you share the video on how easy this is for the cartels? Where they would, they're just, you can't. There's another one.
There's a gas station, yeah.
Liquor store, gas station. Yep. Oh, yep. Man. They're just grabbing people and throwing them out of cars, and then they throw in the thing that's on fire and gone in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I showed you the video. I didn't know how much you wanted me to show or not. I'm guessing I probably could show most of it, but they're ripping people out of their cars. And then if you don't agree to get out of the car, then, I mean, I don't know if you're going to live beyond that, but they're ripping people out of the cars. There's videos of this. They're dropping bags of gasoline in, and then with like one match, gone in like 15 seconds. But then last night he said the looting has started. That's not good. They burned the Costco too. Where am I going to get my 2 quarts of peanut butter and 12 pounds of Parmesan cheese? And I said, well, you have to keep your sense of humor. And he goes, yeah, I have to, actually. Here's the kicker to his story yesterday.
Frank's also the guy who would send in the people feeding the raccoons.
That's right.
With the pizza dough. And the pelican, Roto the pelican. Guy would have to stuff the fish down him. Had issues swallowing, yeah.
How about this, Paulie? So, Frank usually goes out ATV riding on Sundays. The streets are typically pretty empty. He explained to me that he's going to go explore the back areas of the city. He's been there for about 5 years now, full time. And the back areas of the city is exactly where all this started. But how about this? Instead of going out yesterday, he decided to stay at home and watch USA versus Canada. He had a bet on it, so he hung around to watch. By the second intermission, you could hear the explosions and see the smoke. By the end of the game, it was all chaos. He said he would have been tooling around out there at the very worst time. God bless the USA hockey team. So if that game wasn't played yesterday, he would have been exactly where this took place at, and I don't know who knows what would have happened to him at that point. That's the update, Frank B., living in Puerto Vallarta. But that video that he sent me today was from Costco. Again, that was him out, I think, on his four-wheeler running around and everything just burning. And so, who knows how long he's going to be stuck there. Hopefully, this ends sooner than later. He explained that buses getting burned like that are going to be a big problem when they get things back going again. A lot of the locals get around that way, and they burn so many of them. People are not able to get to work and to school. But he said punishing the locals by going for the utilities, pharmacies, groceries, transportation. Internet's down now. Only one of three internet companies operating. Many people are without internet, any of that whatsoever. And he said about streets have about 15% of the traffic it normally does on a Monday when he was sending me some of the stuff in.
Inmates killing the guards and taking their weapons now out on the street?
Yeah. Yep. Wild, man. And he also sent me a video of what people look like for people to go to pharmacies. They had there was one pharmacy he sent me a video of where it looks like it's a garage door that's completely shut, but then there's like a hidden door in the middle of it. Uh-huh. And people had to it looks like it's only big for somebody who's like 5 feet tall. You had to duck underneath it like this to get in.
Like Del Toro, and one battle after another.
I know, yeah, let's right. Go. That's exactly what it's right.
Harriet Tubman thing going on over at my place, but from the heart.
But how about that? I also asked him, I'm like, did you ever think about this? Was it ever in the back of your mind as this is a possibility when you moved down there?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he said, I'm trying to get the exact feedback from what he said. Oh, he moved there primarily for his health, much healthier lifestyle. He said, of course, if you factor this stuff in, maybe it's a different equation. Supposedly, if you aren't into drugs, you have not much to worry about. Random wrong spot at the wrong time is the risk. Very true.
Yeah.
And this just happens to be, wrong spot at the very, the most wrong time ever possible. And, he lives in an area where they thought they were going to be safe. He's guarded by an extra level of protection.
Okay.
But then he heard yesterday that they were coming for everybody. And that means high-rise buildings. And that kind of leveled off a little bit today, I guess. But obviously, fingers are crossed and hoping the very best for one of our favorite guys on the entire planet.
Be safe out there.
Yep.
Well job. Well done.
I get his point, though. After all, they're supposed to be...
Well, you would think they would run the city, though, too. It goes back to where, we're dropping the hammer. Now we're coming after you and killing the the cartel leader.
Yeah.
And then it's, all right, we're going to fight back and it's going to get ugly. And then who has...
Well, I wonder...
Who has... It reminds me of Escobar, too, when they got Escobar.
Sure. But was there always like a handshake deal, though, almost where...
Yeah, you do your thing, keep it out of the streets.
Yeah, and yes, just, right. Hey, let
the... That goes back to the bribes and the corruption, though, too, that usually goes on there,
mm-hmm.
how they run things.
But just don't...
But then it's...
Don't screw up the vacation destinations that,
yeah.
you know, bring in a ton of money.
Who's in Cabo? What's going on in Cabo?
Arbetty KK.
Yeah.
But he didn't say anything, nothing.
Okay.
I'll check in with him to see what how it was, but wild, man, to see all that stuff taking off like that.
There was an incident years ago in Cancun. You'll have those problems too, but that's... And then who has the upper hand when it's government police against the cartel?
Mm-hmm.
And the cartel with just, I got nothing to lose and we're going to throw every trick at you.
Remember the story from Jimmy Vaccaro many years ago? Driving by a bus
in Tijuana,
up on cinder blocks.
That's right.
Stopped by the police, said, hey, you cut off that bus. He's like, you mean that one on cinder blocks? Interesting. He goes, yeah, well, what do you have on you? And Jimmy always said that he would keep like $20 in one pocket and then who knows how much in the other. He reached into the pocket with $20 and he goes, this is what I got on me. Okay, you're good to go.
Yes. Good, well done. College hoop season heating up. Best betting stretch of the year right around the corner. VSiN offering the Hoops Mania special. Get VSiN Pro access now through May 1st, just $29.99. Every best bet, every host, every guest, the DK and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, full show replays. If you're betting the tournament, this is a must. VSiN.com/subscribe. Join now, $29.99 through May 1st. VSiN.com/subscribe. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We're just talking about Frank B. in Puerto Vallarta, the situation there. We have a buddy who's also vacationing in Cabo. He's listening to the show right now. KK, good to hear that everything's all right. He said that his people down there say it's run by the good cartel.
Okay. That's the other thing about how many times El Chapo was arrested, and then it's escaped jail because everyone's on the payroll.
Well,
and it just, okay, he goes down some tunnel, and he goes in his, he's supposed to take a shower in his cell, and goes down a tunnel. Oh, he's gone.
Not got him. Okay, I don't want to harp on too much of this.
Yeah.
Frank B. also sent me like an 11-minute report on a news station who had on a cartel expert to explain what could happen next and how bad this guy was. Oh, my good God.
The guy that they killed?
Yeah.
How bad he, really?
Yeah, but he kept everybody in line underneath him, and now that he has like six sergeants underneath him, they might turn on each other. But what he was saying and how... Anyway, so anyway, that's enough on that.
Wow.
I
say no. Let's keep going.
You want to keep going on that?
Plus, how popular this stuff is, too, on Netflix with Narcos and the El Chapo stuff and the Escobar.
Yeah, I know. The guy compared him to Pablo Escobar, the cartel expert that was on the news.
I think when it was all said and done, he had $30 billion. They made $40 billion.
Is that right?
They had so much money, they couldn't hide it all, put in banks. Rats were eating it. You go around Mexico, you probably dig up, here's a $50 million.
Sure, Breaking Bad all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. Some quotes here on Darren Peterson. Huge story today on ESPN.com. Gigantic game tonight. Kansas hosting Houston. Kansas at home now, catching about 1.5 or 2. Actually, some books moved to 2.5 here recently. Bill Self said, quote, he's great, but I have told him in all honesty, have I really had a chance to coach you yet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have I had a chance to say, hey, this is totally unacceptable. This is how we're doing it. Have I had a chance to really make points to him?
Is it fair to bash Kansas for this, how they handled it? How he's letting him, this guy's dictating everything.
Oh, do you think
the agent.
Do you think maybe Self a couple of weeks back should have said, that's it, you're done? No more?
Well, you could have done that, or just from the get-go, how it would... I mean, this is why, number one, the picture is getting so much attention. And number two, you see the on-off numbers when Peterson doesn't play and how frustrated the team is. But also, you don't want to know what's happening. To think the guy's pulling himself out of the game. I mean, a college kid, the Oklahoma State thing, I've never seen that before.
No, neither have I.
Corner three signals, all right, that's it.
That's it for me. That's my time.
So it's, and I'm sure how the fan base feels about how the guy's just like a hired gun, and then, okay, that's it. I'll try to be the number one pick, and those numbers have plummeted, where it was minus 550 and now $1.20, where the other guy, the Bansa for BYU, is doing the right thing and saying, if they, whatever my team needs and my coach needs,
yep,
you want me to play 40 minutes, fine. But the thing that got me from that article that stuck out was the Boozer numbers, that Boozer has played 34-plus minutes 15 times, and Peterson's done it once.
Mm-hmm.
But the uncertainty of game in, game out, reliability, competitiveness, will he be there, and the impact it has on the team. But still, having said all that, and the article's timely and front page today, I think they bounce back after getting humiliated at home against Cincinnati.
Yeah, so
now, the comeback is there's chaos in the locker room.
Right.
But I still think the bright lights, the big Monday, the 40 in a row, self doesn't lose back-to-back home games, that they'll right the ship. And maybe you'd feel better off if he doesn't play a lot.
Sure.
Going back to what they did against Arizona.
It also feels like, I mean, all this negativity now, it's just been basically coming up on 48 hours now on negative talk everywhere about this kid, right? Football's over with now. March Madness right around the corner. And it's one game after the next where it's like, it's a big story. His dad had to come out yesterday. He didn't have to, but he put on Instagram, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Peterson was, huge story again. Myron Metcalf must have been like 10,000 words today on their website. Between the Arizona and Oklahoma State game, Peterson said, everybody's got an opinion on it, no doubt, but basketball is my life. If I could have been out there every game this year, I would have. If you would have asked me last year, what are my goals for this year, I would never mention missing games. So all this stuff kind of just happened, but I've got to deal with it. He did point out regarding that, and you can find this, by the way, you can look over, sports books have this up, prediction markets, whatever. You can bet the no on him, by the way, if you want to tie your money up and get a little bit of plus money at this point to not go number one overall.
I think that ship has sailed. I just...
The number's gone?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a dog at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I just think there's too much smoke here, and all these GMs are talking about it, and the competitiveness thing, and how much do you love the game?
Sure. Now, he could save face starting tonight.
He could.
By going out there and playing 30-plus minutes and being great and a win, and that could continue into March Madness, and he doesn't miss any more time, and then it's like, oh, my God, this guy has to go number one overall.
But Bill Simmons nailed it. We played the clip earlier.
Yeah.
You're going to lose your job if you whiff on the pick. The uncertainty. You have to take sure bet, and this guy is not the sure bet with what he's doing.
This is like almost to that level of what happened with the Luka draft. Multiple teams passed on the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But if Peterson were picked number one, he would only be the third player since 2000 to have sat out more than 10 college games. It happened to Kenyon Martin, but he missed 17 over several seasons, though.
Yeah.
And Kyrie Irving missed 26 in his only season at Duke. I think he only played in 10 games that year, but he was still taken number one overall. But this draft is also everybody, those same people now that are coming out potentially and saying, well, the rumors are anyway, question marks now. They're also like the same people telling you this is the best freshman class maybe ever.
Yep. And why, the crazy tanking, and one GM owner, was it owner? Owner said the number one pick's worth $100 million.
Yep. But we both bet him tonight.
Yep, and I'm also with Thomas Gable on McNeese. Short card, Southland, the two heavyweights are playing, Stephen F. Austin and McNeese. Hopefully they meet in the Southland title game. Stephen F. Austin wraps up a share of the title with a win. They're laying 12.5. They've been so good all year in conference. Only one loss, but they did win and struggle, didn't cover Saturday at home. Again, their objective and goal is to win. Is it going to be by 13 or more? I can make the case for New Orleans, but I think McNeese puts it on Rio Grande, laying 9.5. NBA, the heavyweights playing tonight. What a matchup. I do think there's value still in San Antonio, plus 330 to get the one seed. Good write-up today from Mackinnon with the favorite has done well in this matchup. We keep going back to this number, though. Pistons 1.5, begging you to bet the favorite. Spurs are hot. Spurs could get the one seed. Detroit's going to get the one seed. Pistons have been great in these big games, especially what they did against the Knicks. Big steam on Cunningham. Number one, he's playing so well, MVP. Number two, it's also these guys around him keep missing games, and they're running out of a runway here.
Right.
Where Cade's going to win it by default because SGA and Joker and Luka and Wemby are all missing these games. But I think the total's too high. But here's where I hate to do it, but I have to make the case for the favorite based on Detroit's been so good at home and the number two defense in the league and why you can make a case for the under in the marquee matchup in the NBA tonight.
Here's something to watch maybe for a win total bet for the Pistons. This goes all the way through next Thursday. Here's their schedule. The Spurs tonight. On Wednesday, they get Oklahoma City. On Friday, they get Cleveland. On Sunday, they play at Orlando. Tuesday, they're at Cleveland. Thursday, they're at San Antonio. That is a meat grinder of a six-game schedule. But they're a very good basketball team. Now, you said if the Spurs, if you like that bet at plus 330 to get the one seed, Paul, if he doesn't miss any more time and they get the one seed, is Wembanyama really going to like be there at the end?
He can. Tim Bontemps was making the case.
Yes,
he did.
The poll.
He compared it to Embiid when he grabbed it from Joker a couple of years ago. Same things. Guy had an injury early on, bounced back. Carried him, great record, dominant stretch to close out. That definitely is in play.
Does not happen. What if SGA has, if he plays the appropriate amount of games, though, does he still beat him out? I guess he would have to be the one seed at that point, right?
Yeah, he's going to sit a lot of games.
SGA.
This is going to continue. Yes.
Mm.
But it's also, what if, and then Cade coming down to 5-1. Cade can overtake him too, because Detroit's going to be the one seed. What if they have the best record in the league? That's the other thing.
Right.
Maybe it comes down to who is the best record in the league too. You know, and the other talk about getting an American win this as well, that the drought that we're on. The other one, I want to make the case for Jazz Rockets over, even though the Rockets are slow with the pace. But again, this incredible offensive rebound rate, how efficient they are offensively, and they look so good. You probably catch them in a foul mood tonight to blow that eight. What happened? Up 18 in the fourth quarter in the Garden. Then the Knicks come alive and they win the game.
That's a horrible loss.
And the Rockets blow it. And Durant was great in that game. But I just think, you know, we know what the Jazz are doing. But then the Jazz play fast and also more possessions, and because we're going to get exposed here and give up a ton of points. So the Jazz just playing some crazy games. So even though I have a slow pace with Houston, I think the Jazz are going to help them out. And the game should go over tonight.
Yeah, by the way, on the MVP note, Joker can only miss one more game. Wemby can miss four. Luka, he's not even in the MVP conversation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the losses.
SGA can miss six. Cade has 11 that he can miss. Again, I wonder if they're going to factor in if he plays that many more games than everybody else. If he plays 90% of his games, everybody else is 75% or below.
Harden said that one year. Harden said, I should win because I played in all these games.
Right.
That should count.
Zig Vercrossi on the show coming up next. Anchor, SiriusXM Sports. He loves himself some hockey. We'll ask about handicapping strategy for upcoming NHL games, which start again coming up on Wednesday.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Yesterday, absolutely worth waking up wherever you are. Hell, if you were in Hawaii and you woke up to watch that game, you got your money's worth as Team USA defeated Team Canada for gold medal over in the Winter Olympics. And to talk about it right now, Zig Fercassi joins the program, anchor on SiriusXM Sports, longtime radio guy, NHL lover as well. He's on the Progressive guest line. Hey, Zig, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Mitch, Paulie, how you guys doing?
Doing really well.
Good, bud.
So overall, what did you make of the sour grapes after the game, almost immediately from guys like Nathan MacKinnon? And do you think he was right, though?
Oh, he was absolutely right. I mean, I've been watching this stuff for about 50 years now, and you can tell when a team has been thoroughly outplayed. The territorial edge was huge in favor of Canada. And so MacKinnon was absolutely right when he said, you know, you decide who the better team was, because Canada was. So you know this as well as anybody. Sometimes you need your goalie to stand on his head. And that's what Connor Hellebuyck did, quite simple. I mean, we were talking a little off the break there. That save in front of the net on Taves, that should be on a postage stamp. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they got a little bit lucky there when McKinnon had a layup to the right side. If you're watching on TV, it's the left side.
Right.
And he hit the side of the net. So you also need some breaks. But I thought overall Canada was the better team. But in the end, U.S. made the play that they needed to. And quite frankly, I thought throughout the tournament we're a good team. They deserved to be the gold medal winners in 2026.
Based on what happened in his playoff career, did you think Hellebuck had a game like that in him?
Yeah, right, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has won Vezina trophies. I mean, hell, he was MVP and all this. Yet, you know, for whatever reason, Winnipeg just usually comes up small in the playoffs. And now, granted, he doesn't have Charlie McAvoy and, you know, Faber and Sanderson and guys like that on his defense. So he's probably saying, hey, I finally got a defense in front of me. But all kidding aside, this is something that, you know, Winnipeg's probably maybe on the outside looking in this year. But I got to think from a confidence standpoint that this does wonders for Hellebuck going forward.
You love hockey. You've been following this for years. What did you think of the 3-on-3 overtime and then what Cooper said afterwards?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. But again, he's absolutely right. If you look at it from where this is as opposed to, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs where we'll get a 3-overtime or 4-overtime game, I don't think that, to be quite honest, on the Olympic stage – that maybe the casual person even watching hockey would probably want to sit through that. So again, you know, that you take the comment for what it is because the NHL and the Olympics are separate. So I have no problem with it. All the guys knew the rules going in anyway. So it wasn't like this red light surprise, but you know, ideally you put it this way, you wouldn't see this in the NHL. I think there's enough groundswell on that saying, all right, it's good for the regular season. And I hate the shootout, by the way, but yeah. You know, you can decide games that way. But when it comes to playoffs, it's like brass tacks. Think of it like in baseball, you got the ghost runner, I guess, starting the 10th inning, but you don't essentially do that, you know, during the playoffs and everything. Mm-hmm. So well, that's how that looks.
Well, we agree it was a ridiculous way to decide the gold medal. But you have an advantage going in when you're putting out McDavid, McKinnon, and McCarr to start the 3-on-3. I mean, that's exactly. To me, that's on you. You got to win that. But so Eddie Olczyk said this on the broadcast about when we won in 1980, you had so many young people that then wanted to become hockey players. Could the same thing happen here where I want to be Hellebuck, I want to be Hughes? Do you see that wave of young people saying, I want to be like these guys and play hockey?
Great question. I would say yes, but maybe not to the point of what we saw in 1980, because you got to remember that was still essentially an era where you had just the three networks. Maybe ESPN was just getting started in its infancy. You didn't have cell phones. You didn't have 24/7 sports coverage. Mm-hmm. You didn't have the internet and everything like that. So, I think that took on a legend of itself where I think now it's just so mainstream and we see these kids already. What is it? I think it was Al Michaels I heard today saying about at least 30% now of the NHL players are United States. So I think it'll continue to grow. There's no question about it. Would I see it as a seismic spurt from like 1980? Probably not, but still there's going to be enough people out here. You got to remember too, these are professionals. Whereas back then, you know, the U.S. was playing with collegians. I think the only team basically was Russia. They were playing with freaking pros for goodness sakes, who, you know, Fetisov and all those guys. So I think, so the long answer to your question, I think there'll still be growth, but maybe not in terms of a gigantic leap of faith we saw from 1980 till yesterday.
Okay, fair enough. Sig Fracassi is our guest here on the Progressive Guest Line, longtime hockey guy, longtime radio guy, anchor, SiriusXM Sports as well. Follow him on X at Zig Sports Voice. So they don't have a lot of time, by the way, to get ready for the second half of the season, Zig. I mean, it's a full slate basically on Wednesday night, and a lot of teams that had a full complement of players over in the Olympics are in action. For example, right. The Avs, the Wild, the Lightning, the Golden Knights, they all had 8 players each. Jack Hughes, Devils, we're 2 days out yet. So we have plenty of time to actually think about how we're going to handicap these games and bet on them. But what is your early takeaway to, things to look for that night?
You know, that's something too. And remember, the Olympians had to fly into Miami as opposed to JFK because obviously of the big storm that hit the Northeast. Trust me, I'm aching from shoveling a foot and a half here in Northeast New Jersey. So I know all about it, but I would be stunned if, like, what is it? I think Vegas plays LA on Wednesday, if I remember right. I would be stunned, like, if Eichel, Theodore, and Stone and all those guys would play because, you know, obviously, then now you got to get from Miami back out west, you know, and there's another 5.5-6 hours there. So I got to think teams in that particular scenario probably would give those guys the night off. That's just my guess. Because quite frankly, you know, they got to be, you know, fatigued, and I'm sure they've enjoyed a little bit of the nightlife, put it that way. So, you know, probably got to give them their chances there to kind of get back into hockey mode. That's going to be interesting too.
Yes.
You know, how long are you going to be able to have the high and the euphoria from winning, and now oh poop, I got to go now try to clinch a playoff spot too. So I got to get back to reality. I think all that's to be determined. I would be stunned myself if guys like Eichel and them for Vegas would play on Wednesday. That's just me.
Does the time off mean sluggish starts, low-scoring games, or does it lend to mistakes and maybe goals early? What does that look like when you come back off a 2-week break?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility of it probably being a little bit lethargic. It's almost in some ways like, you know, you're restarting something. I remember, what was it, when they had the lockout or the strike in 13, and then they finally got things going again. Play I seem to remember was a little bit ragged. So, you know, you can scrimmage all you want. You can do all those different things, try to simulate game conditions and all that. But I got to think, you know, it's going to take a little while. You may initially have the jump because you've been rested, but in terms of, you know, clearing your own end, making that pass, you know, until you start doing it again, it may take a couple of games for everything to be synchronized once again. So I could see some ragged starts throughout these games.
You recommend a flyer or maybe to win a conference or a Stanley Cup bet?
Well, I'll tell you, I've never seen it, at least in the East, I've never seen it so tight the way that it is. So I'll tell you, it would be proceed with caution out there. And again, you know, in the West, I mean, Colorado is just, they're just so good. I just saw Rantanen's now gone on IR for Dallas. So it looks like he's going to be out at least a week. That could be something worth watching, but I don't know. Colorado, until I'm convinced I could see some goaltending, they would be my favorite. Mm-hmm. But again, goaltending is a question mark for me with the Colorado Avalanche.
Follow him on X at Zig Sports Voice. Zig, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Be good.
Thanks, buddy.
There you go. Zig Fracassi, anchor of SiriusXM Sports, longtime lover of the NHL and hockey in general. We'll recap our weekend with our bets and tell you what we've added to the old portfolio coming up tonight and this week here in Pocket Plays next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. 2-0 over the weekend. Kevin Porter assists over, and he did it again yesterday. I'll be on this tomorrow as well. I think he's on a 9. The numbers he's putting up, both points and rebounds. And how about this? The Bucks are winning games.
How about that? Yeah.
Won, now before
that's
the,
exactly right.
Coming into the loss yesterday, they had won 6 of 7. And they were underdogs in most of them, including a 14-point dog against OKC. But his numbers, 21-10, 25-7, 12-7. 18-11, 28-7, 23-8, 18-9. So he keeps going over his assists, usually in the 5.5, 6.5 range, and he's scoring. He's scoring, and Rollins is scoring. And for Dallas, with Flag out and the uncertainty of who's in, who's out, it's been Middleton and P.J. Washington, the veterans, doing a lot of damage for Dallas. So something to look at with the props in the gold medal game, ice cream under 5.5, 2-1 USA. That's the couple winners there, the graded, the pending. Okay, this is interesting. We've seen some movement. The late games Wednesday in college basketball are fire. Huge. Number one, Utah State goes to San Diego State. Aztecs are out. They need the game to just stay on life support. That's a big game. Same time, second meeting. Two games left. Then they have the conference tournament out here. Santa Clara. It's now moved. They're now minus 150 to make the tournament. They play St. Mary's. They already beat St. Mary's. Only once in the last 13 years has the West Coast Conference got three bids. Gonzaga's in. St. Mary's has the 40th best resume, but they don't have a quad one win. Lenardi's got them last four in. If they sweep St. Mary's, that's it. They are in. So that's moved, but I still think the no, and I think they're going to have a tough time of it going to St. Mary's, and St. Mary's looking to even the score, and St. Mary's needs it because they don't have a good win, even though they're sitting there in that 8-9 range right now.
Let me guess, the last time it happened for the West Coast, it must have been recently with Gonzaga, BYU, and St. Mary's?
Yeah, it had to have been, yes. Okay. Yes. And how about this now? Miami, Ohio to make the tournament, no plus 320. They keep winning. Team total went over again Friday.
Ugh, Jesus, I know it.
That was easy. How about, 37.5 first half? Whatever. They had 45 with 4 minutes.
Well, there isn't a single book that offers it in Nevada.
Crazy. This is now plus 270 at DraftKings. Here's what happened. They have four games left. Can they go 31-0 and finish the regular season undefeated? They play tomorrow. They're going to be huge, good-sized favorites because they're playing the two of the worst teams in the league on the road, three of the last four on the road. The committee, the media did they were invited by the committee to do a mock committee thing with the brackets, right?
Yep.
So here's what they did. They had Miami of Ohio in. Last four in, but losing in the conference title game to Akron. So the media had Miami, Ohio 33-1, last four in. This is sick. And this could be wild on Selection Sunday. To me, you have to bet the no. Number one, they have to go undefeated regular season because one of the losses will be considered a bad loss. And then what happens if they lose in the conference tournament? That to me was outrageous. 33-1, yet last four in the dance.
But they're also, at this point, a very good basketball team for that level.
Yes. They can score 92 a game. Come on. And 27-0, what are we doing?
Sure. So maybe it's just like we look back at the end of the MAC title game and we're like, yeah, they blitzed everybody. And they left like no doubt about it.
Right. I think Akron can beat them, but yeah, that's certainly possible. How they score, and it's just give these guys credit. It's hard to win games.
Sure it is.
There's upsets all the time.
That has to matter for something.
Yeah, come on. What are we doing? All right, good luck. And I can't give this out on air, but I will record because it's so high. Humans will kill me. But the Lakers are only minus 280 to win the division?
Suns injuries?
Yeah, Brooks broke his hand and Booker's out another week.
Right.
They have a three-game lead and a loss column. Minus 280 at Caesars Will Hill for the Lakers to win the division.
Yeah. You got to, well, because we each have the Suns at big numbers to win that division. The time, if we were ever going to get down, then I mean, the Lakers were just even money, but, and that's when the Suns were still playing great basketball. Now, the problem is, for the Lakers anyway, they got a lot of good teams coming up, and they're probably going to lose a bunch of those games.
And that continues. Every loss but three has been by double digits. When they lose, they get buried.
Could the Warriors come out of nowhere and take it?
I don't think so. That was a nice win.
Nice win last night.
I don't think that's happened.
All right, recapping the weekend here. McElroy top 10, plus 150. That was for four units. That was a good one. Merrimack minus three. Did you see what happened there?
Overtime? Double overtime?
Oh, yeah. I think it was double overtime on Friday night before they eventually got the job done. And Siena was absolute. They were gamers the entire time.
This was ice cream.
Jared Allen, he flew by Friday night, over 24.5 points and rebounds. I don't think he went over yesterday against OKC, though, did he?
I think 12 points, yeah.
Okay.
But it was a great line. They asked Harden. He goes, he's a lot better than I thought he was. Harden has been setting this guy up.
Oh, big time.
He's averaging like 23 a game since the trade. So that was easy. I couldn't believe that number when you gave it out Friday.
And this was a loser on Friday. Pacers, Wizards were playing back-to-back. I played under 230. That was 27-22 into the first quarter. And it absolutely flew by that number.
Oh.
So I think they combined for almost 80 points. Anyway, that was a loser. Pending, new stuff here. Yeah, this was going back to last week. Virginia to make the Final Four, 17-1. St. John, 16-1. Arkansas, plus 1150. I bet... tonight, Kansas on the money line, plus 115 against Houston. I haven't looked around at too many other books. I looked at two books. I still think like plus 360 on Con Knepel to win Offensive Rookie of the Year is worth it. And I played plus 450 over the weekend. And again, I'll tell you why. It's because it was the Friday night game when he had 33 in a loss. And then Saturday, I knew that they had Washington on Sunday, which Washington sucks and they were probably going to win that game. He had a chance to have a good game, which he did. I saw the news on Saturday right away, Cooper Flagg out again. I'm like, what's the best number on Con Knepel?
How long is this going to continue?
Yeah, right. And oh, by the way, like his numbers at the end of the year might be right there with
him. That's true.
So I had to take a little plus 450. I think it's still playable. It is around like plus 360 if you want to get involved.
College Hoops Grind is where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games at night, constant line movement, opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not beating billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own with the sharp plays. You don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected insider sources. They highlight sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. Free reports, alerts, public logs, transparent results since 2011. Jeff and the crew been with Follow the Money since day one. They're phenomenal. Give them a follow. Trusted by pros, monitored by the books. You need the sharp plays. Own the boards. It's college basketball season. Visit sharpplays.com.
So we talked in this hour about our buddy and really, again, a friend to the betting community, Frank B., stuck in Puerto Vallarta. He's lived there for about 5 years with everything going on there. Email is ftm@vsin.com. This is from Troy, Sioux Falls. He traveled to Mexico yesterday for a vacation. He had no idea what was going on until they landed. Fortunately, they landed on the other side of Cancun. They saw a strong military presence on their way to the resort. So far, enjoying the vacation, no issues. But a lot of people here are talking about it. No lockdowns, feel horrible for the people in Puerto Vallarta. Yeah, same here.
I did that 1 year. It was incredible.
Go to Cancun?
All-inclusive, yep. Just go in, everything taken care of, just have the tip. Anything you want, steak, shrimp, whatever. Oh, man. The water, the blue water.
Oh,
snorkeling. I was freaked out by the snorkeling. And
I love vacationing in Mexico.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Many areas down there. I've been to Puerto Vallarta once. I can tell you right now, two spots, and if they're still there, who knows? Some I can pinpoint you. I give you two spots there, at least two in Cabo. They'll rank up there with the best Mexican food you've ever had. Oh my God, so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was like we had these bacon shrimp tacos at a place called Pepe's in Puerto Vallarta, about a mile from the resort. I can still taste how good they were, and they were like $2 a pop. Like, I'd eat here every single day if we could. So good. Is humans back from vacation?
Bangkok's got a hold of them now.
How about that?
Bangkok. Oh, these guys went to Bangkok.
He's back from, I think he's back from Thailand tonight with Murray coming up on primetime.
There he is.
Is he there? Oh, he's there.
Bangkok's got him, baby. Bangkok.
From what I've heard, very boring over there.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure nothing fun happened for humans in the crew. How about the crew that they took?
I know. It was ER. Roxy lives over there, right?
Scott Pritchard lives over there part-time. There was a huge crew anyway of guys.
I can't believe it.
I think Bovey's over there.
Social media. Bovey, yeah.
All right, so they're going to take you.
Landlord.
Yeah. They're going to take you to the live betting night tonight on primetime for the next 4 hours. Into Cashing Out with Dustin. Wake up early tomorrow with Dave and Jensen, VSiN by the book, 7 a.m. Eastern. Good luck with the bets tonight. We'll see you.